Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
On the road, broadcasting from our flagship studio via satellite, AM 1380, WLRM radio, and also via the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. James Edwards here, along with my co-host for the night, Bill Rowland. Bill, how are we doing this evening?
We're doing fantastic. Of course, as you say, we are in the hotel where the Council of Conservative Citizens meeting has been held today. It's a board meeting, so it wasn't a terribly big affair, but a lot was accomplished today. And as usual, and as always, the Council of Conservative Citizens is in business to look after the best interests of white Americans. And that we did a great deal of work today on behalf of our own folk.
So, I mean, we were working during the day and now working through the night on the radio program. I tell you, that's what the kind of work that they get with James Edwards and Bill Rowland and the TPC crew.
Exactly. We're here for you folks. Don't ever forget it. We're always online. We're always 24/7 on for our own folk.
Well, and that being said, we've got a big show for you tonight as we broadcast to you. You know, and I gotta make this announcement. We do a lot of live, I say a lot, a couple of times a year, we'll get out of studio. It's always trial and error. We never know exactly how good it's going to go, but so far tonight it seems as though it's going pretty smoothly as we broadcast through our AM/FM affiliate stations and via the internet. But typically when we come take our show on the road as we are tonight, we do it in front of a live audience in a ballroom or an assembly hall, something of that nature. We have, you know, 100 people around us listening in live. Tonight we're actually doing it from a hotel room, you know, just a typical standard hotel room. So this is, Bill, the marvel of modern technology. Here we are with a laptop and an external mic doing a radio program that's going out to AM/FM radio stations as people drive along in their cars or listen online. It's amazing what you can do in this day and age.
This is truly commando radio. You know, we are literally parachuting into your car right now to do this show. So and just that, remember that.
And people are going to be parachuting into the room. Now, I tell you, this is what you miss when you don't come to our meetings. To a CSCC meeting or any meeting where the cesspool team is invited to speak, and Bill and I both gave speeches today. I'm in a room here in Nashville. Everybody that came to the meeting was given my hotel room number. So the door's cracked open. You know, you got that little security bar that you can, you know, deadbolt your, well, that's not necessarily a deadbolt, but it's the extra little latch that they give you to doubly secure your door. We've got ours propped open. The door's cracked. Everyone was given my room number. So people are going to be parachuting into our room, Bill, over the course of the next 3 hours. We have a couple of people in here right now, and they're going to catch a live show in action. I mean, that's a perk that we offer our fans, and, you know, it's all about the fans here at TPC.
It's all about the fans, and we've received great feedback because we are, you know, we're the airborne rangers of right-wing radio, obviously. You know,
we're the trailblazers.
We're not on any big syndication, but we are the trailblazers. And, you know, we've received, you know, we were talking earlier, James, and listening to Derek Black, who's got now his own radio show.
That's right.
In Florida. And we were actually given the great compliment that they were inspired by the political cesspool.
We were the pioneers,
the pioneers of this type of radio. So, you know, I guess that's enough fanny padding.
That's right. Well, I think we had to set the stage, though. We had to let people know where we were coming from tonight. Obviously,
exactly.
It's a novelty if we're not in studio at 1380 WLRM, and we are on the road tonight, although WLRM is picking us up via satellite. So we're excited about this. It's exciting to be able to come on the road. It's exciting to be able to meet the people who listen to our program each week. And to have a few of them sitting in tonight as we broadcast from a hotel room. So anyway, special broadcast of the cesspool tonight, this Saturday evening, November 6th. It's going to be a big show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, not the least of which being the huge GOP gains that were made on Tuesday. But what effect does that have for paleoconservatives, white conservatives? Unfortunately, in my opinion, probably not much, although there was a mixed bag today at the meeting. Some people thought it was very positive. Some people thought it was just, you know, I think one of our listeners wrote in with the comment that I would most relate to. He wrote me earlier this week and said that replacing the Democratic Congress with the Republicans again is as useful as rearranging chairs on the deck of the Titanic. Now, that's something that that's something that could have come from my mouth. That's the way I see it. But we're going to be talking about this at length this evening. What happened last Tuesday? Where do we go from here? And is there anything to be gained or lost from a paleoconservative perspective from the GOP sweep of Congress? You know, huge gains they made. I mean, historic.
James, that's true. And the question I think that's going to be presented before the American people is, are the Republicans really dedicated to change, or is this just another shadow puppet show about taxes and the economy? You know, one of the things I noticed, and I don't know how many other people out there noticed this, but in none of the campaigns, except for Angle's campaign in Nevada, was there any mention of illegal immigration.
That's right. You know, she did it very, very in your face.
Very in your face about illegal immigration.
Unfortunately, course, she was the only Republican who lost last
Tuesday. Well, that's another issue that we might bring up later. We might or we might not. But I did notice something about these elections that I hope other people will also notice.
Well, since you've given that teaser, I guess we're going to have to talk about it.
Well, it's the fact that during these elections, notice the number of women that were in these campaigns and how many of these women lost. Now, you know, I guess this is going to, a lot of people are saying, oh, but these were good women. But the fact is that in the campaigns where women were running against men, the women lost. And here's the surprise that I'm going to give you concerning those races. Not only did women lose when they ran against men in the Republican, where the woman was a Republican, the Democrats also lost women from Congress.
So what's the significance
lowest, the lowest number of women. Is the significance that is that we needed more men running for office and fewer women.
Well, we got to quit hosting radio and get back on the campaign.
I guess so.
That'd be coming about full circle.
Okay, you know, all right, look, well, all right, here I'm going to give you a note. You know, Angle lost. O'Donnell lost in Delaware. Martinez won in New Mexico, but Martinez was running against a woman. Whitaker lost in California. Whitaker was running against a man. So my point in this is not enough men in the races.
Well, we'll talk more about that. We're going to have a comprehensive recap of what took place last Tuesday during the national election, and much, much more tonight during this very special edition of the Political Cesspool Radio program, coming to you once again from a Council of Conservative Citizens meeting in Nashville, Tennessee. It's always the council. It's always Nashville when we take the show on the road. But we love it, and we're having a good time here with all the fans, and it's great.
Way, there's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found to be.
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. It looked like we have a couple of very minor technical difficulties during that first segment, but they are now rectified. If you missed any of my opening monologue, it is that James Edwards and Bill Rowland here with you hosting the entire 3 hours tonight. All the Keith Alexander fans are going to be slightly disappointed. He didn't make it to Nashville, where we are here this evening, broadcasting live from my hotel room at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Board of Directors meeting. It's a board of directors upon which both Bill and I serve honorably. And it's great to meet all the fans. People are coming up to my hotel room to catch the show live in progress as we broadcast at the AMF and the affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. Big crowd in here tonight and jam-packed here in the room. And we're going to be talking a lot about the elections, the election results of last Tuesday evening. We got into that a little bit. But, you know, Bill, my main issue is I know that a lot of people who have conservative tendencies are going to be somewhat enthused over the fact that Obama's party was routed, and rightly so. But, you know, it goes without saying that what Governor Wallace said back in the 60s and 70s still rings true today, perhaps now more so than ever before, that there really isn't a dime's worth of difference between the two parties on issues, on the most important issues. And what issues are those to us, Bill?
Well, the fact is that during the election, I think anybody who was watching the election could detect immediately that immigration and some of the other big issues important to the American people were completely ignored, except for Sharon Angle. I mean, Sharon Angle was the only one who ran commercials specifically critical of the illegal invasion of this country.
And she actually put into picture what these people look like.
Exactly. And that was completely right. Now, Sharon Angle made some serious campaign mistakes. I mean, she would not talk to the press. She came off as being austere, haughty, arrogant, and so forth. So that certainly hurt her campaign. But, James, the campaign that I think that was most important in this election and should be most encouraging to us was the one that was conducted by Tom Tancredo in Colorado in his gubernatorial bid. And the fact is that even though Tom Tancredo lost
– As an independent. With getting 38% of the vote.
38% of the vote, Tom Tancredo didn't even enter that race until July of this year.
So he entered in July, which is about a year after every other person campaigns in an election of that magnitude.
Exactly.
Enters in July against a Republican and a Democrat as an independent and still pulls 38% of the vote. Now, why didn't the Republicans back him? If the Republicans had backed him, he would have won.
If the Republican nominee from the primary had pulled out of the race would have been much closer. In fact, I think Tancredo would have won. But the Republican refused to do that because the Republicans, quite honestly, have been sabotaging the races of the vulnerable Tea Party candidates throughout this election. And one of those was Christine O'Donnell. Anybody who has a 10-minute memory, the memory of a fruit fly, would know that from the beginning, Christine O'Donnell's campaign was doomed because the Republicans condemned. The Republicans pulled away from it. The Republicans actually sabotaged the campaign. It wasn't the Democrats.
A lot of variables in play here when you try to analyze the election results from a paleoconservative, read pro-white point of view. The Tea Party's obviously had a hand in the election of a lot of Republicans. Now, is that a good thing or is that not a good thing? Well, we're going to be talking about that. And, of course, we've documented the pros and cons of the Tea Party movement on this show for the better part of 2 years now. And there's a lot of cons to what they're doing here. They're trying to be too politically correct. They have a groundswell of implicit whiteness, and they're not acting upon it in the way that they should. They could really be a harbinger in turning this country around. They could really turn the rudder by themselves if they would get over their fear of being called a racist. And I wrote a whole book about this. But that being said, the Republicans win big. And so it looks as though the Tea Party has had a monumental effect on American politics. Maybe they have, but has it been for the better? That gets back to the root question tonight. Well, I think the Republican Party can answer that for themselves. My concern is, you know, maybe there were some good people that were elected. Rand Paul, maybe he has some good tendencies at his core. But the odds of them being co-opted, I think Trent Lott said this in so many words, let's co-opt any real, you know, a hardcore conservatives that the Tea Party is able to usher into Congress or the Senate and make them more quote unquote mainstream or establishment like. And if you go to the GOP's website, I think everything you want to know about them is right there, particularly, and I've written about this, their heroes page.
You have, yes.
A couple, three, four times.
Not my heroes.
All right. If you go to the GOP heroes page, now this is what I'm talking about. Now, does this really sound like a political party that's going to reclaim America's destiny for conservative people? You go to their heroes page, you find that they have 18 people that they've honored with being a historic Republican hero. Three of them are radical feminists like Susan B. Anthony, for example. Then you've got 9 people out of the 18 who are black. Now, there aren't 9 black people in the Republican Party. But even so...
Not that have been elected, anyway.
You got 9 Republican... Even the ones who have been elected still vote Democrat, like J.C. Watts and Colin Powell. All right, so they've got 9, you know, on the Republican GOP.com heroes page, you've got 9 black Republican heroes of historical significance, and get a load of who we have here. This is people, again, highlighted by the Republican Party. Pinckney Pinchback. I'm not exaggerating his name or trying to mock him. That's a real name. He was the son of a slave who became the GOP governor of Reconstruction-era Louisiana. Another one is Octavius Cato, another son of a slave who became a civil rights activist in Pennsylvania until he was murdered in 1871 by a quote-unquote Democrat who didn't like his political activities. Now, this is what the Republican Party is pushing. Jose Barbosa, another historic Republican. When you think of great Republicans, you know, we might think of someone like Pat Buchanan. You know, anybody with a decent amount of sense would think of somebody like that.
Or Robert Taft.
Yeah, or Taft. But no. What the GOP leadership thinks of is Jose Barbosa, who established the Republican Party of Puerto Rico, who's had such a, you know, national significance in the grand scheme of things. And it goes on and on. Jackie Robinson, who wasn't even a Republican at all. Frederick Douglass. These are people that are on the GOP.com's heroes page. The National Republican Party. Let's not even get into the fact that they've got that clown Michael Steele as their chairman. And, you know, and so this is the party we're supposed to have hope in that's going to turn the tide and start advancing paleoconservative tendencies. Now, I tell you, everybody at the Tea Party, the vast majority, I don't think I'm exaggerating here, 90% would fundamentally agree with the tenets of the political cesspool radio program. Mm-hmm. You know, they really would. And yet, the fruits of all their labors have led to a lot of Republicans being elected. And when you go to the GOP's website, you see stuff like this. I tell you, Bill, did we just exchange Tweedledee for Tweedledum, or did anything of any positive significance happen on Tuesday?
Well, it's too early to tell, but historical precedent would say we've traded Tweedledee for Tweedledum. And the fact is that the Republican candidates in this race, with the exception of Tom Tancredo, failed to address illegal immigration in an aggressive and assertive manner. And that's a bad sign. If they're going to keep harping on the economy, then they're going to have to address at some point the fact that illegal immigrants are stealing jobs from Americans. And if they don't address that problem, then they're overlooking one of the significant factors in this, the fact that we're in a depression right now. They keep calling it a recession, or you can call it anything you want, but it's a depression. There are not enough jobs for people who are looking for jobs.
And Jim DeMint started the recession.
According to Alvin Green, the Democratic nominee who ran against him.
For South Carolina Senate. Yeah, hey, listen, folks, if you didn't see Alvin Green's victory party, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. You're not going to want to miss that. Thepoliticalcesspool.org. We've got to go to break. We're here from Nashville, broadcasting from my hotel room, and we got a nice little live audience here. Gathered around. We're going to come back with more post-election recap here on the Political Cesspool radio program this first Saturday evening of November 2010. We'll be back in just a moment.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. We are a show with the best engineering and production value of any show in the world. I tell you, Liberty News Radio is really on top of it tonight. To accommodate us as we broadcast from a remote location, as we take our show on the road, is a feat, let me tell you. And they are on top of it tonight. Got to give credit to our studio producer out in Utah, who is making all this happen tonight as we broadcast remotely from Nashville, Tennessee. And we're talking, James Edwards and Bill Rowland here live with you for the entire 3 hours tonight. Keith Alexander will be back next week, as will Winston Smith and Eddie the Bombardier Miller, the rest of the TPC hosting staff. Talking a little bit tonight about the ramifications of the election results that occurred on Tuesday night. And, you know, Bill, I was just thinking, every talk show in the world, or at least in America, was talking about, you know, these races in advance of last Tuesday's voting. We never did an election preview show, probably because, as one of our fans so accurately put it, it's like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It's just, you know, whoever wins, we lose. But we are doing a little post-election recap tonight, and we're not going to extend it too much further because, as I say, if history is any indicator, it's probably, you know, we're not going to see. We've been fighting a retreating battle on any issues of importance to our people for decades now, and I don't think we're going to start making tremendous gains in building a wall on the border. We're going to cut off foreign aid, or we're going to start doing this and doing that, you know, repealing, you know, abolishing the Federal Reserve. We're not going to be doing anything that we could really sink our teeth into. I don't think this Republican Congress is going to give us anything like that. So we're not getting too excited about it here on the Political Cesspool, although we feel obligated to give you a little post-election recap, and we've been doing that tonight. But one thing that came to my attention today, Bill, as we were at this meeting at the Council of Conservative Citizens, is a very impressive vote that no one has heard about, including me, I'm ashamed to say, until today, brought to my attention by the geniuses here at the CFCC, a vote in Arizona that was very, extremely positive. And I bet no one listening to the show tonight outside of Arizona, where we've made big news this summer, has heard of this, but it's our honor as a Political Cesspool host to bring this vote to your attention. What happened in Arizona, Bill, on Tuesday that we think is probably the biggest news of the entire night?
Well, it was a vote to ban affirmative action in the state of Arizona, and the immediate impact of that vote would be, I would think, James, involving college admissions. You know, that colleges can't recruit blacks and minorities on the basis of race. But more importantly, the effect that will have on particularly public sector jobs, you know, involving the government. So we would hope that kind of amendment would stand, and or rather that kind of a vote would stand in the courts. But that's going to be an important factor, is how will that play out in the courts? Because almost certainly the ACLU or some other left-wing outfit is going to sue to try to prevent that law from coming into effect.
Yeah, this wouldn't be the first time this summer Arizona has passed a common sense law, only to have it batted down by one liberal judge.
Right.
And in that case of SB 1070, it was a homosexual liberal judge, just to set the record straight. But nevertheless, so Arizona, you know, this isn't the first state to do this. Michigan did it a couple years ago, and the Council of Conservative Citizens played a direct role in that vote. And this is great. I mean, how could anyone be opposed to this? Here in the Political Cesspool, like most people, we think the best candidate for the job should get the job. The best scholar for the scholarship should be awarded the scholarship. Equal rights for all, special privileges for none. But what you have here is anti-white discrimination in the form of affirmative action and set-asides and quotas, and that's totally a racist initiative, if I can use the R word. And so Arizona shot that down. They shot down affirmative action, and we'll see where it goes. But to me, Bill, that was the biggest victory of the night across the board, and it was something that you just didn't hear about anywhere except for either unless you came to this meeting or you're listening to this show right now.
James, the fact is, I say hooray for white privilege. And the reason I say that is because the Hispanics and blacks who are attending institutions all over this country are attending institutions that were created and funded and built by white people. And so there's no shame in saying that we should be the first ones to benefit from the organizations and the institutions that we build ourselves. Why should we say we're going to just throw away our privilege and our right to be part of an institution that we created? And yet we have allowed other races and other people to benefit from our work. Why shouldn't we say banning affirmative action is a minimum, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to having what we deserve? Because the fact is, who wants to go to the University of Mexico City to get a law degree or a medical degree? Would you want somebody operating on you who graduated from the University of Mexico City?
If I didn't even know there was such a thing.
I don't know either, but I'm just saying.
I see your
point.
Would you
rather have a graduate of John Hopkins Medical School or a graduate of some, medical school in Mexico? That's the point. These are our institutions, and we have a right to have first choice when it comes to institutions that we create.
You know, it's this sort of candid talk that has made the political cesspool such a phenomenon. And in fact, if I may use the word, so famous. We have received international attention from just about every major newspaper, many of the major cable television shows, because we speak frankly on these issues, not at the expense of anyone else, but certainly we seek to promote and serve as spokespeople for European Americans, just as all the minority groups have their spokespeople who advance their interests. That's what we do here on the Political Cesspool. And in doing so, we've attracted some of the biggest guests in the world. You know, Pat Buchanan's a friend of ours, has been on this show several times, and he addressed issues just like Bill was just talking about. He said, with regard to all of the hatred and ill will that the minorities in this country have towards the founding stock, he said this on this very show, we've heard the grievances. Where's the gratitude? You know, black people in this country have a better standard of living than they do anywhere else in the world. And that's fine. But, as they continue to foster such hatred and ill will towards white people, they do so, you know, while they're driving in cars and speaking on cell phones. And, you know, where do they get that technology? And so, you know, I'm not saying everyone shouldn't be able to benefit equally, but what I'm saying is we're not going to stand for reverse discrimination. And unfortunately, Bill, we're the only radio program with the courage to speak out against these injustices on behalf of the founding stock. We deserve a right to have our own representation as well. And well, you'll get it here every Saturday night on the Political Cesspool, I promise.
Well, the fact is that racism or not, hundreds of millions of Africans and people from the third world would come here, even if this was a thoroughly racist state, as the liberals would say, because the standard of living is high. But the standard of living is in decline because we are adopting a third world mentality and a third world culture. And it's coming from the third world. And so the standard of living is going to continue to decline for white people.
Well, I said that on CNN. You know, again, as a result of the popularity of this show, I've been invited to CNN. Our audience here is enjoying the robust commentary. Yeah, as a result of the success and popularity of this show, I've had the opportunity to appear on CNN a number of times, and I said exactly that almost in so many words, Bill. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population. It just doesn't work, and it's never worked, and if we're going to behave like the new Rome, we're going to pay the price that, Rome paid. Babylon, Tower of Babel, it just doesn't work out, and it's not going to work out here. America will not be an exception to that rule. And so, therefore, we have to continue to assert that which made America so great, and that's what we do here on the Political Cesspool, and we do so without retreat, surrender, or apology. Another phrase that you coined, Bill. But another bit of news, and this is off the beaten path of what we're talking about right now, but another bit of news that was brought to my attention. Again, I learned so much today. You learn more in 4 hours at a CSCC meeting than you do, I don't know, in a year of watching, you know, CNN.
Of college.
Yeah, year of college, Fox News, college, whatever. But we got a minute to break, so I'm just going to offer up this teaser, and then we'll pick up on it after the break. But this summer has been, if I tried to recount all the news the cesspool made this summer, you know, we had Mel Gibson's father on the show a couple of months ago, and we were in 105 different newspapers from New York to Los Angeles, Toronto, Australia, Germany, Ireland, you know, we're everywhere. And Rachel Maddow has attacked us this summer, all since June, you know, big news with WorldNet Daily we made. But also this summer, Bill, Keith Olbermann of MSNBC listed us as his worst person in the world one night, I believe back in June. Well, Keith Olbermann can do that no more. And we're going to tell you why when we come back right after this commercial break. You're listening to The Political Cesspool with James Edwards and Bill Rowland exclusively on the Liberty News Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Hey, guys, I'm telling you, everybody listening out there in Radio Land, we're having way too much fun in this hotel room tonight. I want to elaborate upon that, but listen, next time there's a Council of Conservative Citizens meeting and we're invited and we do a remote broadcast, be there. That's all I can tell you. Listen, the opportunity to sit in, you know, we're 6 years, 7 years now on the radio bill, you know, full 6 years going into our seventh year, all the headlines we've made, to sit in with us like this, in this state of mind, it's something they'll remember forever.
It's magical.
Yes. And then the radio magic continues tonight. I guess in summation, our skirts haven't been blown up by the big Republican gains earlier this week. So we're not going to talk too much more about that. We'll just wait and see what happens, but we're not expecting much. So therefore we're not going to be disappointed.
Well, we're not expecting much if the Republicans, you know, fail to address some of the major issues in this country.
Which they certainly did during the supposed Republican Revolution of 94.
Well, you know, James, here's the thing is if the Tea Party movement is in fact,
The genuine article.
If they are co-opted by the big marshmallows like Karl Rove and Newt Gingrich, then there's going to be no traction in this country for people who are genuinely concerned about the fate of what's going on here.
I'll put it this way. If the best the Tea Party can do, if the greatest manifestation of this grassroots phenomenon is the election of a lot of Republicans, well, we need to look no further back than a few years ago when the Republicans controlled the White House, the House, and the Senate. And they had it all. And what did we get in those years? When it was total Republican domination, Bush, a Republican Senate, and a Republican Congress, what did we get? Republican House of Representatives, what did we get?
We didn't get any advantages at all. I mean, yeah, we basically ended up with our wallets empty. But you know, the thing is, these were new Republicans, at least – the very least, and this is a very, very small thing, is that people like Bonner know that we've gone in saying that the Republican Party is on probation. If they truly believe that, then they'll start looking at the bigger issues than the economy. The economy is connected with illegal immigration. It is connected with some of this attempt to globalize our economy.
You can't separate one from the other.
Exactly. You cannot separate one from the other.
If you're talking about crime, illegal immigration, deficits, welfare, you know, the economy itself.
The only thing that's going to restore America is white privilege. Let's face it. When we get back to white privilege, when whites again have control of our institutions and control of our government and control of our economy, then we will see,
Bill, we're the only people, and this goes back to what I was saying before, equal rights for all, special privileges for none. Affirmative action, that's a non-starter for me. I mean, that does nothing except reward the least qualified applicants or students. We're the only people in the world that don't stand up and say, we deserve to advance our interests just as the minorities. You know, I've said it 100 times on this show if I've said it once. A Jewish group, a black group, now even a homosexual group, because they're the latest privileged minority, they are not only allowed to have their own spokespeople and their own organizations, like the NAACP, for instance, or GLAAD, who advance their interests as an ethnocentric group, they are encouraged to have those. Not only allowed, but encouraged. But when white people, as we try to do on this radio program, we speak up for conservative white people. That's who we seek to fight with. That's who we relate to, and I think that we should be allowed to gravitate towards whomever we choose. But what's good for the goose isn't good for the gander in that case, Bill, and that is the greatest hypocrisy and double standard that is in existence today, both politically and otherwise.
Well, the only way that that prosperity is going to take hold is when, once again, white people have good jobs, white people have our so-called privileges, but which in fact is our rights.
Well, why are we so weak in standing up and saying, you know, Listen, a lot of the great things that have happened in this country, the Constitution, you know, advancements in any form of technology you want to finger, you know, we had a hand in that, more than a hand probably. But, you know, all of these other, you know, minorities are able to go out and have their organizations and their spokespeople, and yet we've allowed ourselves to be so cowed by this Marxist term racism that we've completely surrendered. And not only will we not advance our interests as a whole, you know, we do it here on this show, and there are some, you know, some other groups that are doing it. I'm not talking about radical groups. I'm talking about good Christian groups like the Council of Conservative Citizens, good conservative groups. You know, how could an entire, you know, the majority of our population be so cowed? How could we be, you know, this is, you know, what happened to the nation that used to produce people like Davy Crockett and Robert E. Lee? You know, they wouldn't go for this kind of stuff. Where are we?
Because the pioneer generation has died out. And the, you know, the idea.
Yeah, but tell Al Sharpton he can't advance the interests of black people. You know, tell Gloria Allred.
Listen,
why can't our people do that?
James, you know, what you're trying to say is why isn't that fair? And the fair.
Not necessarily fair, but why won't our people go out and say we're going to have this, we're going to do what y'all are doing, and we're not going to apologize for it. Not only do we not go out and seek to advance our ethnocentric interests, we apologize for it. You know, all they got to do is call us racist, and we apologize.
It's the comfort zone syndrome. Once our people got to the point where we were comfortable in our houses and comfortable in our incomes and comfortable in what we owed and what we paid, then we begin to lose the intuition and the instinct to look after our own kind. And that's the tragedy that we're talking about.
Now, I think Sam Dixon said it best on this show, too, another one of our great guests. What is love if not loving your family more than others? And we consider, I guess, our race or our ethnostate to be part of our extended family. That's not at the expense of anyone else. Anyone can come to America, and they have, God knows, and prospered beyond anything they would have done in their native lands. And we're not advocating that they not be allowed to do that, but you know certainly we have an affinity towards our own culture and heroes and heritage more than that of other people. You know, I certainly relate more to someone like Davy Crockett, a native Tennessean, than I do to you know Shaka Zulu, and I think that's very natural. But unfortunately, you know, that's not taught as being natural now.
Well, James, ask yourself this question: what happened to Davy Crockett? Davy Crockett died surrounded by Mexicans. He was killed by Mexicans. And he was surrounded by people who were determined to wipe out the Anglo-Saxon invasion.
And you hear this. You hear that. You know, Bill, you hear this on American soil this very day by groups like Ruaza. They're actually advocating that on American soil. And it doesn't, you know, raise an eyebrow. But if someone says, you know, we should... you know, white people ought to have the same capabilities to advance their group interests as any other minority. And you would think that it's some sort of a terrorist plot. It's madness.
Well, the fact is.
And you know, the nation that produced Davy Crockett wouldn't produce a nation of cowards.
The fact is that the high standard of living in this country was produced by white people. Was not produced by mestizos.
You can't produce a first world nation with a third world population.
Exactly right. By the way, look who just walked in. It's the president of the Council of Conservative Citizens, Tom Dover. Oh, well, there he went. He stumbled over here. Tom, can you come over here and give us a few words?
Keeping in mind we are on AM/FM radio, Mr. President, so no foul language or lewd jokes. You might not have anything to say.
That
wipes you out.
A little bit narrow.
I'd be very serious about that.
About this, you know, I don't know, but I learned something about some of this group and everything, and I've learned what it is. If you don't like where I'm coming from, you can kiss my Confederate.
All right. I think we know where we're going there. I think we know. Well, now, if we had more people with that fierce defiance, you know, perhaps we could do better than the Republican Party. Hey, but speaking of, I gave a teaser before the last break. Tom Dover, president of the Council of Conservative Citizens. I gave a teaser before the last break. Keith Olbermann, who has denounced us as the worst people in the world, or he did so earlier this summer, has been given a leave of absence from MSNBC. Did anyone know about that? I found out about that just today. Apparently because, not because he was causing MSNBC's ratings to plummet, as he and Rachel Maddow have done and continue to do, but he has been given a leave of absence for donating to Democratic candidates. Now, I really don't know what the problem with that is.
Look, James, the fact is that we have, you know, we needed to declare victory over the
NAACP. I'm glad.
Listen, well, right now, I want to tell our audience, we're declaring victory over the NAACP. We're declaring victory over Keith Olbermann. We're declaring victory over all these leftists because, and, oh, and let me also mention Leonard Zeskind, who wrote the NAACP.
Yeah, he's gone. Gone. Hey, listen, we talked about that
losers,
last week.
Losers, losers.
We talked about that last week. We'll talk about it more at the top of the second hour. So stay tuned, everybody. We got to go to some national news, and then we'll be back with the second hour of the Political Cesspool Radio program live from Nashville, Tennessee with James Edwards and Bill Rowland right after these words from our sponsors.
Something's got a hold on me. Day the squirrel went berserk in the First Self Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon, and Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.